സംസാരദാഗ്രൈ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധി കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗ്രഹീതാംഗം മാം ഉദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൻ. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവദാഖ്യവയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാദാമുക്തർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫല സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ. ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ പുരുഷദേവേശാ നാദസ്തും നോ യത പ്രഭോ. നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവഭാവപ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമന തം നമാമി ഹരിം വരം. ജന്മാദ്യസ്യേതോന്വയാദിതരതശ്ചാർത്തേഷ വിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിവ്രതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷ ധാംനാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തോഹകം സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി. നർമ്മപ്രോചിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവതം ദാപത്രയോന്മൂലനം. ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനി കൃതേ കിം വാവരേ ഈശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭി തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം സുഗമുഖാനമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം വിപദ ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം ഹുരഹോ രസിയാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഹ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശോൽപത്യാദി ഹേതുവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമ. യം ബ്രവ്വയന്തമനുവേദോ വേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഹാവ പുത്രേ ദിതന്മയതയത്തരവോ അഭിനേതൂതം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മഹിമാനദോസ്മി. യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖിലേശ്വതിസാരമേകമധ്യാത്മദീപം അതിഥിതീർഷതാം തമാന്തം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം. നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ജയമനരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയൻ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുക്കുളിദാദൃതാന്യേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീം ന കണികാവി കാവികാവി. നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി. നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീവിം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽഗുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ. വന്ദേ നന്ദപ്രജസ്ഥൈനാം പാദരേണു അഭീഷ്ടശായാസം ഹരികഥോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീ ചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം മാതാലേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി. കോമളം പൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മവാസദം പുരതോ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിമ്യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതിരാധികായേ നമ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമസങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗൃഹീതാം പുരാണമുനിനാ മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി മമ്പത്വാ മനസന്ദദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി. നമോസ്തുതേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരത തൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേ ത്രൈകവാണേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതേ നമ. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോദോക്ത ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോവത്സുതീർഭോക്താദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹദ് വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥ ജലാ ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപ്പല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ മഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണഘോര മകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്വരവജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈസജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ് ഭാരതമംഗജക്കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന് ശ്രേയസേ. മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലങ്കൈതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്തുനന്ദിവേസ്തവേർ വേദൈ സംഗപദേ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹം ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. ശ്രീ ഭാദരായനുവാച വൃഷദ്വജോ നിഷമ്മീതം യോഷിദ്രൂപേണ ദാനവാൻ മോഹയിത്വാ സുരഗണൻ ഹരി സോമവായേത് വൃഷമാരുഹ്യഗിരിശം സർവഭൂതഗണൈ ഭൂതാ സഹദേവ്യാ ഏവം ദ്രഷ്ടും യത്രാസ്തേമ സൂദനാ സഭാജിതോ ഭഗവതാ സാദരം സോമയാ ഭവ സൂപവിഷ്ണുവാചിതം പ്രതിപൂജ്യ സ്മയൻ ഹരിം ಶ್ರೀ ಮಹಾದೇವಾಜ ದೇವದೇವ ಜಗದ್ವ್ಯಾಪಿ ಜಗದೀಶ ಜಗನ್ಮಯ ಸರ್ವೇಷಾಂ ವಿಭಾವಾನಾಂ ತುಮಾಲ್ಪಾಹಿದ್ರಿ ಈಶ್ವರ ಆದ್ಯಂತಾವಸೇನ್ ಮಧ್ಯಮಿದಮನ್ಯದಹಂ ಬಹಿ ಯದೋ ಅಭಯ ಸನಿಧಾನಿ ದಲ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಜಲ್ ಭವಾನ್ ತವೈವ ಜರನಾಂಭೋಜಂ ಶ್ರೇಯಸ್ಕಾಮಾಮಿರಾಶಿಷ ವಿಸೃಜೋಭೇದ ಸಂಗಮನಿಯ ಸಮುಪಾಸದೇ ತ್ವಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಪೂರ್ಣಮೃತಂ ವಿಘ್ನಂ ವಿಶೋಕಮಾನಂದಮಾತ್ರಮವಿಕಾರಮನ್ಯದನ್ಯಲ್ ವಿಶ್ವಸ್ಯ ಹೇದಿಹೃದಯಸ್ಯ ಸಮಯಮಾನಾಂ ಅಲ್ಪೇಶ್ವರಶ್ಚ ತದಪೇಕ್ಷತಯಾನಪೇಕ್ಷಾಂ ಏಕಸ್ತ್ವಮೇವ ಸದಸದ್ವಯಮದ್ವಯಂ ಚ ಸ್ವರ್ಣಂ ಕೃತಾಕೃತಮೇಹಂ ನಮಸ್ತು ಭೇದಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನದಸ್ತು ಜನೈರ್ವಿಹಿತೋ ವಿಕಲ್ಪೋ ಯಸ್ಮಾತ್ ಗುಣೈರ್ವಿಧಿಕರೋ ನಿರುಪಾಧಿಕಸ್ಯ ತ್ವಾಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಕೇಚಿದವಯಂದ್ವಿತಮಮೇಕಂ ಏಕೇ ಪರಂ ಸದಸದೋ ಪುರುಷಪರೇಷಂ ಅನ್ಯವಯಂದಿ ನಮಃಶಕ್ತಿಯುತಂ ಪರಂ ತ್ವಾಂ ಕೇಚಿಲ್ ಮಹಾಪುರುಷಮಂ ವಿಹಮಾತ್ಮತಂತ್ರಂ ಉದಾಹಂ ವರಾಯಿ ಋಷಯೋ ನ ಋಷಿ ಮರೀಚಿ ಮುಖ್ಯಂ ಜಾನಂದಿಯ ವಿರಚಿತಂ ಖಲು ಸತ್ತುಸರ್ಗಾಃ ಯನ್ಮಾಯಾಮುಷ್ಯ ಸಮೀಶತ ಇತ್ಯಮರ್ತ್ಯಾದಯಾ ಕಿಮದ ಶತಭದ್ರವೃತ್ತಾಃ ಸತ್ವಂ ಸಮೀಹಿತಮಸ್ತಿ ಜನ್ಮನಾಶಂ ಭೂತೈಹಿತಂ ಚ ಜಗದೋ ಭವಂತ ಮೋಕ್ಷೋ ವಾಯುರ್ಯಥಾವಿಷಧಿಕಂ ಚ ಚರಾಚರಾಖ್ಯಂ ಸರ್ವಂತದಾತ್ಮಕತೆಯ ಅವಗಮೋ ಅವಿರುಲ್ಸೇ ಅವತಾರಾಮಯ ಆದರ್ಶರಮಾನಸದೇ ಗುಣೈ ಸೋಹಂ ತದ್ರಷ್ಟುಮಿಚ್ಛಾಮಿ ಯತ್ತೇ ಯೋಷಿದ್ವಪುರುಧೃತಂ ಯೇನ ಸಮೋಹಿತಾಮೃತೈತ್ಯಾಪಾಯಿತಶ್ಚಾಮೃತಂ ಸುಧಾಃ ತದ್ದಿದೃಕ್ಷೋ ಮಾಯಾದ ಪರಂ ಕೌತೂಹಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಶುಕುವಾಚ ಏವಂ ವ್ಯಥಿತೋ ವಿಷ್ಣು ಭಗವಾನ್ ಶೂಲಪಾಣಿನಃ ಪ್ರಹಸ್ಯ ಭಾವಗಂಭೀರಂ ಗಿರೀಶಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಭಾಷದ ಶ್ರೀ ಭಗವಾನ್ ವಾಚ ಕೌತೂಹಲಾಯ ದೈತ್ಯಾನಾಂ ಯೋಷಿ ದ್ವೇಷೋ ಮಯಾ ಕೃತ ಪಶ್ಯದ ಅಸುರ ಕಾರ್ಯಾಣಿ ಗದೇ ಪೀಯೂಷವಾಜನೀ ತತೇಹಂ ದರ್ಶಯಿಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ದೃಶೋ ಅಸುರ ಸತಮ ಕಾಮಿನಾಂ ಬಹುಮಂತವ್ಯಂ ಸಂಕಲ್ಪ ಪ್ರಭೋದಯಂ ಶ್ರೀಶುಕುವಾಚ ಇತಿ ಬ್ರುವಾಣೋ ಭಗವಂ ಸತ್ರೈವ ಅಂದರದೀಯದ ಸರ್ವದಶ್ಚಾರ್ಯಶ್ಚಂಶೋರ್ಭವಮಸ್ತೇ ಸಹೋದಯಾಂ ಸಹೋಮಯ ತದೋದರ್ಶೋಭವನೇವರ ಸ್ತ್ರೀಯಂ ವಿಚಿತ್ರಪುಷ್ಪಾರಣವಲ್ಲವದ್ರುಮೇ ವಿಕ್ರೀಡಿತಂ ಕಂದುಕುಲೀಲಯಾಲಸ ದೂರ್ಯಪರ್ಯಸ್ತಂಭಮೇಖಲಾಂ ಆವರ್ತನೋವರ್ತನಗಂಭಿತಸ್ತನಂ ಪ್ರಕೃಷ್ಟಹಾರೋರ್ಭರೈ ಪದೇ ಪದೇ ಪ್ರಪಜ್ಯಮಾನಾಮದಿತಶ್ಚಲಲ್ ಪ್ರವಾಳಂ ನೈದಿಂ ತದಸ್ತದ ದಿಕ್ಷುಭ್ರಮಲ್ ಕಂದುಕಜಾಬಲಯಪುಷಂ ಪ್ರೌದಿಂಗಾರಾಯದ ಲೋಲಲೋಚನಾಂ ಸುಕರ್ಣ ವಿಭ್ರಾಜಿತ ಕುಂಡಲೋ ಲಸ ಕಪೋಲ ನೀಲ ಅಲಗ ಮಂಡಿದಾನನಾಂ ಸೋ ಮಹಾದೇವ ಸೋ ದಿಸ್ ಮೋಹಿನಿ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ಎ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಶಾಕ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಮಿಡಿಯೇಟ್ಲಿ ಹಿ ವಾಂಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಎಂಬ್ರೇಸ್ ಮೋಹಿನಿ ಮಹಾದೇವ್ ವಾಂಟೆಡ್ ಟು ಎಂಬ್ರೇಸ್ ಮೋಹಿನಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ as soon as this desire came to embrace the Mohini and the embrace happened but immediately after that he managed to leave her and come out from that desire that was creating this problem inside. Why this story here in the Bhagavatam? If you ask that question, that in this world, all living entities, in all living entities, Krishna is present as he, in the form of Jiva. Jiva is nothing but Krishna's another expansions within our body. But when Jiva is in conjunction with the modes of nature, Satugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, some changes happens to the Jiva. In its pure form, Jiva is Atma. There is no difference. It is Krishna itself. Krishna himself is in the presence of Jiva. But problem comes when Jiva comes into contact with the modes of nature. And whatever changes that's happening due to the contact with the modes of nature, that will have its effect on the Jiva. And the Jiva has to accept it. Jiva has to go through that changes. Depending on what modes of nature influences a person. Jiva in its pure form is Krishna. But when Jiva comes into contact with the three modes of material nature, it will have its impact on the Jiva. And whatever results that comes from consequences that comes from that, it has to be faced by the Jiva. So that is why Srimad Bhagavatam, its origin itself, is at a time when Purva Mimamsa was very strongly present. Jaimini's Purva Mimamsa, that what they say is that for the sake of executing dharmam, this creation and the body has given. Creation was, snare and the body was also created for that purpose. But what Mimamsakas or the followers of Jaimini, what they say is that they mean, dharma means executing the yagam or yajnam mentioned in the Vedam. So, executing the yagam and accordingly, correspondingly receiving the results of that, and which will be, if those who execute the yagam, their results will be that they go to the heavenly planets and enjoyment in the heavenly planets, and that way, that is the purpose of the life. This is how the Mimamsakas have developed that philosophy into that. Some people, and the same understanding from the Mimamsakas turned into Nirishvara Sankhyam. That means that they kept on discussing this and came to the understanding that Nirishvara Vadam, that atheistic nature of the Sankhya philosophy came up in that way, Nirishvara Sankhyam. So, purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is that to point out, Vedavyas wanted to correct that understanding from the Mimamsakas. Mimamsakas felt that performing sacrifices, acquiring the pious results, piety, and going to the heaven and enjoying there. That's where Mimamsa philosophy ends. But Vedavyas came up with this understanding that karmam that is performed, which is spoken in the Vedam, is not for reaching the heavenly planets, but instead of getting liberated from this material existence. So therefore, the same karmam will be there, no matter what it is, karmam is going to be there. So that karmam, if it is executed for the sake of self-realization, how to do that? How to use the karmam to advance in the spiritual path and realize the self? This is what Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us. So Bhagavatam has gone a step further to tell us that it is not karma mimamsa is the goal of the Vedam, rather self-realization is the goal of the Vedam, but the karmam, execution of karmam in the Vedam has to be for a higher purpose, not for the sake of enjoying the senses in the heavenly planets. So that is why Vedavyasa Maharshi compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. So whatever story you read in the Bhagavatam, the goal of all those stories is only to bring us to this understanding that SBS Srimad Bhagavatam has only one goal. What is that? Ultimately, offer everything to Krishna. In one sense, you can see that in the Bhagavad Gita also, the same message is given. Sarva dharmam parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva bhavebhyo mokshayishyami mashucha. So, so Bhagavatam is to get to that, is to help us to get to that state of the Sarvadharman Parityajya stage. Bhagavatam helps for that. So, and this you will see in the Ekadasha Skandam. Krishna says the Sarvadharman Parityajya in another form Krishna puts it. If you look into the 29th chapter in the 11th canto, in the verse 34, how that same verse Sarvadharman Parityajya has come in another form there. What did he say? Martyo, verse 34, 11, 29, 34. Martyo yada tetta samasta karmam nivedidalma vijagirshidome tada amrutattvam pratipadyamano mayatma bhuyaya chakalpadevai. Martyo yada tetta samasta karma nivedidalma vijagirshidome tada amrutattvam pratipadyamano mayatma bhuyaya chakalpadevai. When man, human being, gives up all the karmam and surrenders to me, that's exactly what it is saying. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. That same verse comes in another form. Martyoyada tyakta samasta karmam nivedidalpa vijigirshitomi. At that time, tada amrutatvam pratipadyamanomai alpa bhuyaya cha kalpadevai. At that point, he becomes very dear to me and he achieves eternity and he, my alpa bhuyaya cha kalpadevai, means he gets his surubam back. He realizes a self. He gets to know who he is. So, Bhagavad Gita is saying one thing. Same thing Krishna is repeating again to Uddhava. In a different way he has put it there. So, so from the beginning of Bhagavadam, Janmadhyasedonvaya, from that onwards, right up to this verse, this 11:29-34, Krishna says that this is the end of it, that to get to this point. So everything what we do in our life is to develop and bring us to this point. What is Bhagavad Gita says is the same. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Or martyo yatha satyakta samasta karmam. Same thing, right? So what Krishna says there is, give up all karmam and take my shelter. And that is the only goal. There is nothing else from that. So, Purva Mimamsakas, which is Jaimini's followers, that Purva Mimamsa, that was made into Seshwara. What Krishna is saying, or Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying, the way Jaimini spoke was Nirishwara. That means there is no surrender there. Bhakti is not there. Engage in karmam. Pious results will come. Go to the heaven. Enjoy life. There is no surrender there. That's why it's called Nirishwara. But Vedavyasa Maharshi, through Srimad Bhagavatam, converted that Purva Mimamsa into Seshwaram, means Krishna conscious. That in principle they are the same. When it becomes Seshwaram, Purva Mimamsa becomes Uttara Mimamsa. This is the principle. Purva Mimamsa becomes Uttara Mimamsa or Vedantam when it becomes Seshwaram. These words, you can't replace it with something else, because that we have to understand the spirit of all these different terminologies. From how Vedavyasa Maharshi turned Mimamsa philosophy, Purva Mimamsa, into Uttara Mimamsa by adding bhakti into that and turning the goal of spiritual life, not going to the heavenly planets, rather finally surrendering and developing bhakti and taking Krishna shelter. So that became Seshwaram. So when it is Nirishwaram, it becomes Purva Mimamsa, in other words. So the indication of that you will see in that ninth verse, in the same chapter, in the 12th canto, 12th chapter. Tvam Brahmam Kejid Avayandida Dharmam Egam Ege Param Sadasado Purusham Paresham Annevayandi Navashakti Yudam Param Tvam Kejil Mahapurusham Vem Atmatandram. With that verse, Mahadeva is, through that verse, Mahadeva is refuting Mimamsa philosophy. Tvam brahma kechid avayandida dharmam egam ege param sadasado purusham paresham annyevayandi navashakti yudam param tvam kechil mahapurusham avyayam atmatantram. Then, parabrahmam, the brahmam, that vastu brahma swarupam. What is that? And that's what Mahadeva is saying here. It is impossible to define that. Like in the Upanishads also says, యదో వాజా నివర్తందే అప్రాప్య మనసా సహ. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ సంథింగ్ దాట్ యూ క్యాన్ అచీవ్ త్రూ ద మైండ్. మైండ్ కెనాట్ హెల్ప్ యూ దేర్ వెరీ మచ్, రైట్. బట్ దేర్ ఈజ్ నో అదర్ థింగ్, నో అదర్ టూల్ టు గెట్ టు బ్రహ్మం. బికాస్ ఎవంగ్ ఆల్ ద థింగ్స్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్, ది వస్తు ఆర్ ది మీడియం దాట్ క్యాన్ ట్రావెల్ ద ఫాస్టెస్ట్ ఇస్ ద మైండ్, ఇస్ ది మైండ్. అండ్ దేర్ ఈజ్ నో ప్లేస్ వేర్ మైండ్ కెనాట్ ట్రావెల్. మైండ్ క్యాన్ గో ఎనీవేర్. దే సే ఇన్ దిస్ 14 ప్లానెటరీ సిస్టమ్స్, రైట్, ఎవ్రీవేర్ మైండ్ క్యాన్ గెట్ దేర్. Mind can get there. And Krishna also is present in the 14 planetary systems. The mind is also present there. But mind will never get to know Krishna. Krishna is present in the 14 planetary systems everywhere. Mind is also present there. But the mind never meets Krishna anytime. This is the situation, right? Just like there are two straight lines, they never meet each other, isn't it? They keep going straight all the time. In the same way, this one line called the mind and the other line called Krishna or the soul, they will never meet. They keep going in two different ways, like the two tracks in the railway line. So, at the same time, only when Krishna is present or the soul is present, the mind can exist. Only when the soul is present or Krishna is present, the mind can exist. And the mind does not know that. Mind does not know that. Mind is not accepting that. This is the complexity of the mind, right? In this chapter, Shankara Mohanam, this will be clear, how this happens, right? That's why this whole story is spoken in this way, to make us understand that don't try to understand the soul through the mind. No matter how many times we say this, still we will trust our mind. This is our difficulty. People will come up with the mind questions and they will say that, oh, to my mind, or I'm thinking and all that. There's no point in your thinking, and your mind can help you very much on this topic. As far as the soul is concerned, mind has no access and mind cannot get you there. Mind cannot get you there. So, that is why Mahadeva, this story is as a effect to make us this understanding as well, that Mahadeva glorified Mahavishnu in a outstanding way and then asked this question, why do you want to see that form? And that's what he asked in the 12th verse. Avadara maya drishta ramamanasya de gunehi soham tad drashtum ichyami yate yoshit vaburudradham. He said there, right? Yoshit, I mean the female form, that's what he wanted to see, isn't it? So, what for? Because that form has attracted the demons, right? And also with that help of that form, Mohini managed to retrieve the nectar from the demons and distribute to the demigods, right? So what does that indicate? That when somebody is in a asuri bhavam, like the demons have asuri bhavam, Mohini decided that let me bring it to the maximum, that asuric nature. Their nature was asuric, that you could see from the beginning. That their nature was asuric, demoniac. That's why they went after Varuni. And all other thoughts were also directed in that way. So when Mohini understood this, Mohini decided that if there is such a strong asura vasana in somebody, the best thing is to ignite that vasana to the maximum
and then join that with self-realization. And that is this particular Leela. Right. Asura Bhavam is there in all of us. All of us. We have this asuric nature. And if you try to lock it up, it won't stay. If you try to put it under lock and key, that Asura Bhavam will not remain. It will come out. It will jump out when it gets an opportunity. Right? So in the same way, every sense enjoying nature in us, sense gratification, it is no point in locking it up, our sense enjoying nature. This is why the next canto, ninth canto, is explanation of all these things. What you notice here in this eighth canto, you'll find through other stories in the ninth canto, the same thing is brought up again. Right? So, many, many rishis and also some powerful personalities who tried their best to control their senses, and they thought that they have succeeded in that. But eventually what happened was the same persons had to go and marry 50 girls, Sauberi. Sauberi thought that he had a full control on the senses. And he decided to go underneath the water because he did not want to see any kind of sense enjoyment. So underneath the water, executed his penances, and underneath the water he saw sense gratification, got attracted to that, and came out and got married to another 50 girls. So, where is the control of the mind? What happened to Sauberi? Right? And he had to become the husband of 50 girls later. Right? So, impossible to tell the mind or the senses forcefully to keep it under control. Right? So, the point is that if the mind is going in that direction, let it go, but at the same time, from our experience, we have to learn. And we should learn and tell the mind the problems that will create. Sense enjoyment will create, and gradually talking to the mind in this way, not allow the mind to go in that path and bring it back into break it away from its journey. That's all you can do. Forcefully, if you control the mind, it will not stay. It will look for an opening and will try to come out. In such situations, the mind should go out, you should not try to control the mind in that way, but from our experiences in life, one should learn that the after effects of going after sense gratification, learn that and convince the mind that that path is dangerous and one should refrain from that. In that way, the mind should come under control. So, here also, and at the same time, one should take Krishna shelter for help to get this mind under control. Two things. One, learn from life, the experiences, and from that, withdraw instruct the mind not to go in that direction on one's own mind, to one's own mind, simultaneously asking for Krishna's help in getting this mind under control. These two things have to go together. And, for example, things what has to happen will happen in that way. But at the same time, Mahadeva's case also you can see that normally Mahadeva will never get a desire like that after seeing a female form. It should not have happened to Mahadeva. He's not a person who will be affected by such a thing, right? So, and the emotions that comes in the mind and these different experiences of the senses, if you try to forcefully stop them, right, you will go and jump into a bigger pit. You'll go and fall into a bigger pit, right? So anything what is done in this world, it should be given with proper care and attention. And this asurik bhavam, which is present in all of us, instead of trying to tie it down with a rope, allow them to go through that, but at the same time, we should learn the art of turning that sense enjoying nature in relationship with self-realization and Krishna consciousness. That is the science. That is what Bhagavatam is teaching us. That we have desire for sense enjoyment and we have asura vasana inside, all of us. The science of Bhagavatam is, or Krishna consciousness is, to turn that propensity for enjoying senses and also this uncontrolled nature in us of asuric nature, bring it together and connect it with Krishna somehow and turn the whole process for realizing the self. That art, that is Bhagavatam. That is Bhagavatam. In whichever story you look into Bhagavatam, you will find this happening at the end. Just like here, this within us, it is this asura bhavam. Asura bhavam. And if you allow that, thinking that, let it stay quietly, I won't allow that to forcefully think that, I will not allow that to wake up and act, that may not work, because you don't know when that will come out, when it will come out, right? It's like the filth inside, kamam, krodham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, all different kinds of dirt inside. All we have to do is to collect all these things together, and just like they give the example, in the rainy season, the tanks will get full with water, but because there's plenty of water, so all the mud will settle down at the bottom. Then what will happen is, when the rainy season gone, the whole water, if you look at it, it's not clear water anymore, because the mud has started creating trouble. The mud mixes with the water and it becomes very, the water becomes very disturbed by that. So if this does not happen, if you want the water to remain clear all the time, first thing is you have to remove the mud from the water, from the tank, right? And then if you fill it with fresh rain water or clear water, then you won't find the water anytime muddy. Right? So this kamam, krotham, lobham, moham, madam, matsaryam, all these kind of filth that is inside, slowly it has to be cleared. How? By using that mud. Just like kamam, the lust, right? That desire, kama vigaram, or that desire for sense enjoyment. Impossible for us to control that, right? But we have to look at it this way. Is it possible to use that desire and to elevate ourselves in spiritual path? How to do that? And that is what gopis have shown us. They had lust in them. Lusty desires were there in the gopis. They succeeded in elevating themselves and turning that lusty desires by directing it towards Krishna. So if a desire develops inside, suppose a lot of desires are coming in within our heart, then we have to learn the art how to turn that desire in Krishna's direction, towards Krishna, right? And that is what this is here. Krishna becomes the Mohini here. For that purpose, right? So whenever a female form is seen, and if you get attracted to that female form, try to remember Mohini at that time, what Mohini has done, right? And in the last verse in this chapter, Vedavyasa Maharshi will say this, that any vigaram, any thoughts that's coming, unwanted desires that comes in, if you have learned that to direct it towards Krishna, then you will be able to give up that desire. This is the secret. Any desire that's coming in, if you have learned the art of connecting that with Krishna, directing it towards Krishna, then immediately on its own, that desire will disappear from inside. And that is why what it says here, Mahadeva got that desire. This desire of Mahadeva to see Mohini has come in that way, right? Krishna says to him that I have only taken that dress to put the demons, into illusion. For that purpose I have taken a dress like that. Mohini says to Mahadeva, right? And also he mentioned that it's not a very good thing to look at that form. Mohini says, because Kaminabhu Mandavyam Sangalpa Prabhavodayam, it will create Sangalpam inside. So it's not very helpful if it is creating Sangalpam, right? But to make Mahadeva aware that how far the mind is attracted to the form. Only for that purpose it was spoken like that. You see? Kauduhalaya Daityanam, 15th verse. Yoshi Dvesho Mayakradaha Pashyada Suragaryani Yade Piyusha Bhajane. He says, Mayakrita, he uses the word there. Yoshi Dvesho Mayakrita. Mayakrita means something I have created, this form. It's not original. Something I have created for some purpose, right? And this whole creation also, it's the same thing. Like Krishna created Mohini form for a particular purpose. In the same way, this material creation also, Krishna created that. It's not the original, it's something created. Anything that is created has to go at the end. And that is the nature of that. And one should not get attracted by that. Mohini form, Mohini is saying to Mahavishnu is saying to Mahadeva, of course he is not instructing Mahadeva, he is instructing the people who is trying to understand Bhagavatam. It is for them all this is. But Mahadeva is playing the role as a student and Mahavishnu is playing the role of a teacher. That's all it is. But it is actually addressed towards us that through their pastimes, if we could learn from that, that is our benefit. Mahadeva was attracted to Mohini form and Mahavishnu is saying to Mahadeva that anything that's been created, that one should not get attracted into that. Right? Because anything that has been created will be destroyed. That is the principle. Anything that's created will be destroyed. And to get attached to anything that is going to get destroyed will create distress. These are all fundamental principles in the spiritual life and in the Vedantam also. That anything that is created will be destroyed, and anything which is going to get destroyed, if you get attached to that, you will be in distress later. So to free from that state, and that is what in many, many places in the Bhagavatam, this point will come up again and again. And to a devotee or a person who is reading Srimad Bhagavatam, is to take up these principles on board with Shraddha, attention, and again read these aspects of the Bhagavatam, think about it and understand that and take the message seriously. It is, this story is not for entertaining people. Mahadeva having a fun with Mohini, and we understand from that, it is not for that sake this Puranam was compiled. You must remember this, that Parikshit Maharaj is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. He has few days to left, and through this Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna arranged for the world in this conversation between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj that two transcendentalists, one trying to realize the truth, other one who is already in the realized state, how the realized person is helping the other person who is aspiring for self-realization by bringing him out of this illusion through Bhagavatam. So you can see this Vedavyasa Maharshi did not write Srimad Bhagavatam to entertain people. We should never get that understanding. When you get that understanding, then it becomes all a story and katha, and enjoy katha. That nature will come, right? So this is last effort from Vedavyasa Maharshi, Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So this, before he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, what did he write prior to this? Prior to this, Mahabharata was written. And in Mahabharata, apart from Bhagavad Gita, there's also another important spiritual literature, which is the Thousand Names of Vishnu. Bhishma has spoken. So Bhishma spoke Vishnu Sahasranamam, Thousand Names of Vishnu. And Acharya Swamiji's last literature, what he wrote, was this commentary on Vishnu Sahasranamam, Thousand Names of Vishnu. Just like Vedavyasa Maharshi finished his writing by compiling Srimad Bhagavatam, similarly, Acharya Swamiji also wrote Vishnu Sahasranamam and its commentary as the last literature, and then he stopped it. After that, he didn't write anything. Right? So, both of them stopped their writing after that. After writing Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi stopped writing. After that, he didn't write anything. Similarly, after writing the commentary on Vishnu Sahasranamam, Acharya Swamiji also stopped there. Didn't want to write any more further. So, for the sake of giving the nectar to the demigods, Mahavishnu took this form, Mohini form, right? And Mahavishnu's point is this, to Mahadeva, you have seen all my incarnations before, all the other dresses I have taken before, right? Then why so special about this particular dress? That was the question. Mahavishnu says to Mahadev, you have seen all my previous dresses, other incarnations, Malsim, Kurbam, Varaham, Narsimham, Vamanam, all kinds of things. But, and you know very well that's all me. You knew that I have come in all these different dresses. Nobody else knows that more than Mahadeva, right? And apart from that, when it is like that, why so speciality with this form? That was the question Mahavishnu has asked, right? So, in the same way, in creation, if everything is Krishna here, then why we should have a special attraction to one object and not to the other? This is the important question. If Krishna is present in the whole creation, in all different dresses, different jivas, different objects, because ultimately everything is Krishna here. If it is like that, why is that within our own mind we have an attraction for one particular form or a particular object, and we have a revulsion for some people or some objects? That shows that the samabhavana is not there. The mind is causing the problem. When we see that we have attraction for one form, one person, or we have revulsion for towards another person or another object, that's an indication that samabhavana is not there. You're not seeing Krishna in the creation. That's what it means, right? So what he's saying here is that everything is one vastu, Krishna who is present everywhere. And whatever I have my vasanas inside and the thoughts that is inside my mind, that is being manifested, that gets manifested by presence of Krishna inside us as Paramatma, as Super Soul, right? Because what I'm seeing, my own behavior, my nature in this world, Is my different bhavam what is inside me? That's what is coming out, right? That is why, to me, some person is my friend, somebody is my enemy. Where does this bhavam comes from? It's coming from the mind. And that bhavam inside me is manifesting outside in the form of friend and enemy. And when I develop this inimical thoughts inside me, at that moment I feel animosity or inimical feeling towards some people. When I develop some loving feeling inside, loving relationship, at that time we will start loving some people. So this loving and hating and all that is nothing but the different emotions inside coming out at an appropriate time, right? So similarly, when desires comes in, at that time we will get attracted to something. Kamam will come. And you can see that you are not feeling that kamam towards everybody, only to certain people, isn't it? So, and it comes out at certain times, not always. It takes a form and comes out, right? For example, a husband does not feel attraction towards the wife all the time, right? And sometimes when the mind is in tamogunam or sometimes influenced by rajogunam, that time the attraction comes in towards the wife also, right? So, these kind of movement of the mind, what is happening inside, which are called the dangers inside, if they are directed towards Krishna, if one can learn how to turn it towards Krishna, he will escape from the danger. That means when lusty desires or any other kind of desires, if it is in a position to turn that towards Krishna, then one can escape from the dangers that those desires are likely to create eventually. So, here Mahadeva says that all incarnations is you. It's you who are taking these dresses, different dresses, right? But there is a difference. What's that difference? That's what he said. Swarnam kritakritam ivehana vastubhedam. In the 8th verse, that's what that line is indicating. Swarnam kritakritam ivehana vastubhedam. He's saying, swarnam, gold, is present in this world in different forms. Chain, bangles, eardrops, the bells, the anklets, so many different forms the gold can take, right? But when you look at that, the beauty is in different ways. Even though it's all gold, what it creates, the thoughts in us is, you get one kind of beauty from the eardrops, another beauty from the chain, another beauty from the rings, another beauty from the bangles. The beauty that's coming in all these different forms is different, right? So, Mahadeva says to Mahavishnu, similarly, even though you have come in all these different, even though it's you who have come in all these different forms, each of those forms has its own beauty. Even though it's you, person is one, Mahavishnu, who comes in the form of all the different incarnations, and each one of them has its own beauty, Mahadeva says to him. And it is impossible to say which one is better than the other. There is a saying among the great devotees, one should never compare the incarnations, which is considered to be a wrong thing to do. Oh, to say that this incarnation is better than the other, in that way, comparison is not allowed. That's not proper. And because the eardrops and the bangles on the hand, they are two different locations and they used to have both different beauty on its own way, right? So, in its own place, it has its own beauty. When the bangles are on the hand here, it is beautiful. Similarly, when the eardrops are in the ears, it is beautiful, right? So, while, for example, when we go to the temple, you are expected to dress in a particular way, right? The idea behind that is that the way we dress, it should match with the atmosphere of the temple. Atmosphere of the temple. In Kshetram or in the temple, Krishna's presence is there more than anywhere else, where it is experienced. Krishna is present everywhere, but people experience Krishna's presence in the temple more than elsewhere. So therefore, there is a system that one dress in a proper way while going to the temple. And things like this, when we go to the temple, sometimes you see people go in front of the deity and with folded hands they close their eyes. One should never close the eyes in front of the deity. That is the principle. You have come to see Krishna, not to close your eyes to Krishna. But this is misunderstanding, that closing eyes in front of the deity is that one should see that form and get that form established inside, knowing very well that form is nobody else than the Antaryami inside. For that you have to keep the eyes open. If you keep the eyes closed, so often you will find people keeping the eyes closed in front of the deity, right? So many incarnations have come in this world, and each of those incarnations has its own beauty also. So Mahadeva says to Mahavishnu, therefore I would like to see this Mohini form, right? So in the middle of that, Mahavishnu reminded Mahadeva something. Said, do you remember some time ago, from your third eye, a fire came out and burned somebody before? Who was that? The Cupid. Kamadeva was burned before by yourself, right? Because you burned him like that, he has lost his body. He doesn't have a body anymore. Body was turned into ashes. So, even though he doesn't have a body, who? Cupid, right? He still feel very strong. He has very strong feeling against you. Mahavishnu says this to Mahadeva, right? Then, knowingly, one should not get involved in such things because knowing well the danger involved in this, you may be thinking, Mahavishnu says to Mahadeva, that your senses are under control, right? And you are a very qualified person. You won't be easily affected by that. This is how Mahadeva was thinking, and that's how he replied back to Mahavishnu. Mahadeva says to Mahavishnu that I have control over my senses, and therefore there's no chance of me getting into problems, dangers coming there, right? To win over Cupid is very difficult. It's very difficult. And throughout the Bhagavatam you can see that how many people have been attracted by Kamadeva and fallen to that, victimized by that, right? So this kamam, desire, kamam, lusty desires, right? When one grows up, right, to come out of that is difficult. Right? Kamam also means not only lust, but also different kinds of desires that comes in the mind, right? And we know very well, if kamam comes in a person, if that vigaram or that emotion is present in a person, that means his younger brother, Krodham, will follow. If kamam is there, krodham will come. Right? If there is no kamam, then there is no krodham. So, when we get angry, immediately you can... That Krishna mentions this in the Bhagavad Gita very clearly, in the Bhagavadam also. Isn't it? Rajoguna samulbhava. Kamayesha, krodhayesha, rajoguna samulbhava. They are brothers. Elder brother, younger brother. Kamam was born first and krodham takes birth after that. And Krishna also says, krodhal bhavadi samoham. Yeah. Smriti vibhramam. Smriti bhramsham. Buddhinasham. Pranashari. One follows the other. So, kamam is the eldest one. It's from him all other children are coming. Right? So, krodham we know, it destroys us. More than that, krodham is kamam. Kamam destroys us completely. Krodham destroys us, no doubt, but kamam destroys us completely. Right? So, therefore, not allowing the kamam to develop, which is difficult. Not to desire anything. If you tell people that, nobody will be able to agree with that, isn't it? Just like we start insisting, I should have this. It should happen according to my plan. This is all due to the kamam inside. Right? So, we have to learn in life also, if it happens, it happens. But if it doesn't happen, you shouldn't worry about it too much. It's not the end of the world. That is the way to deal with kamam. If kamam comes in a person, and if it is pushing you too far, the solution to the problem is that if it happens, let it happen. If it doesn't happen, you don't worry about it. If you have that approach, then it will help a lot to survive in this world. It is not easy. We know that. The mind will come in the middle. The mind will put all pressure on us, right? And then it will be followed by anger, right? And ultimately, with that, he will get destroyed. Kamam, followed by krodham, and that's the end of it, right? Bhishma says this. You will see Bhishma Sudhi begins like that. When all my other desires have gone away, he said, only then I can approach you. Iti madi upagalpita vidrishna, he says. When my intelligence have reached that platform of stage, when all my desires have completely gone from inside, iti madi upagalpita vidrishna, bhagavati sattva pungave vibhumni, that I can approach you only at that stage. As long as we have kamam, desires inside, which turns into krodham later, it is impossible to get attracted to Krishna and to attract it to self-realization, attract it to spiritual life properly, right? So that is why Bhishma said like that. And he said, I have only one desire at the end, to leave this body without any desires. But what did he do? He said, all my desires, there is only one thing now. I just want to see you and leave this body. That desire. He turned all other desires into one desire, that was to see Krishna and to leave the body. So that was his success. And Krishna fulfilled that desire. Right. So that is what he is saying to Mahadeva here also. Mahavishnu is saying here, he told him that you will have problems by seeing this form. Mahadeva says that, and Mahadeva heard all that. Who talks about the female form in this world? Kamina bahu mandavyam sangalpa prabhavodayam, he said. The kami, only who have desires inside, wants to enjoy senses, sense gratification, they talk about women. Kamina bahu mandavyam sangalpa prabhavodayam. All these things Mahavishnu has spoken to Mahadeva, right? So, kami, or do have desires inside, they talk about topics related to women, right? So, in reality, that discussions have no meaning from the spiritual platform. If you look at it, it is nothing but the discussion about that topic, the matter related to female form, female beauty, female happiness in female, all these things, right? It is a sangalpam in the mind only. It has nothing to do with the reality. It has nothing to do with the reality. It is the sangalpam in the mind that some form is beautiful and that form is giving me pleasure and various things related to that, right? That is why you will see in the Bhajagovindam prayers also that all these vigaram, the thoughts that is, in the third verse, if you look, it says there, Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam Bhajamodamade, Samprapte, Sanihide Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshadi Dukranjkarane, Mudajehihi, the Nagamadrishnam, Kurusad Buddhim, Manasividrishnam, Yella Basenija Karmovatam, Vittam Dena, Vinodaya Chittam. So in the second verse, Ayari Swamiji spoke about that, about money, the danger from that. And in the third verse, he talks about the women. Nari, Stanavara Nabhi Desham, Drishtuva Maga Moha Vesham, Edan Mamsa Masadi Vikaram, Manasi Vichindaya Varam Varam. What he said was that the form, one must be able to analyze it in a different way. Form is attractive to the man. It works both ways, man and the woman. It is not, but here because it's talking to the man, he's saying in this way, that any form is nothing but flesh. Only thing is, it has been given shape in a particular way. That's what a body is, isn't it? So, any vastu is like that. There is nothing there that it is good in that form. Nari stanavara nabhidesham drishtvamaga mohavesham. But that form is able to create desires in the mind of a person. The form is able to create waves in the mind and different sangalpam from that. And that's when we fall. When we forget this shastram is for to help us to see things properly. If you tell people, this whole industry centered around this, isn't it? Based on this flesh. Nari sthanavara nabhidesham drishtva maga moha avesham. It creates these powerful emotions in the mind. Moham, avesham. All kinds of emotions inside. But what is it? Edan mamsam. It's nothing but flesh. Mamsa vasadi vigaram. But it is capable, because mamsam or flesh takes a particular form, it creates vikaram inside us. And then what happens? Manasi vichindaya varam varam. Week after week, the mind is building up sangalpam centered around this form and gets caught up in that and life is lost, he said. So there is nothing in that flesh to say which is pure or which is attractive. It's all made of flesh and blood and mucus and vatam pittam kapham. In that way, if you analyze it that way, or in other ways also, there is in the shastram spoken about it. Pururavas told us this. After a long time, he realized this. After his affair with Urvashi. Right? So he says there, when he learned this, after a long time, he says that, what is that beauty in that form? You see the eye, the nose, the ears of Urvashi, and seeing that Pururavas was in Maya. Right? So, once you replace one with the other, he said, if you take the nose away and put the eyes there, where is the beauty, he says? The beauty is gone. The beauty is only there if it is in its place. Or if Urvashi loses one of her eyes, by chance, she has become blind, one eye has gone, Puridevas will not want to look at Urvashi anymore after that. He said, so what does that indicate? Whatever that happens in the body, right? There is in this body, there is one thing, no matter what happens, which will never lose its beauty. And that's the soul. And to come to this finer understanding, one has to read Bhagavatam. Otherwise one will never learn. We will get carried away by the entertainment industry and other things, what goes on here. So, except Krishna who is present inside as the Antaryami, nothing else in this body is beautiful. Everything else is ugly and it only destroys us, right? So, our body combination of so many elements and all packed up in the form of the flesh, and it creates vikaram inside us. There is nothing to be particularly attracted to that form, and that is what Mahavishnu is saying, kamina bahumandavyam sangalpa prabhavodayam. This attraction is only a sangalpam in the mind, it's not a real thing. Kamina bahumandavyam sangalpa prabhavodayam. From sangalpam comes these problems of kami, of these desires inside, right? So, only those people will enjoy talking about it. They relish these discussions, isn't it? And you are the person who has one killed Kamadeva. You have burned him into ashes, right? And with that background like that, that you have burned Kamadeva with the fire from the third eye, how come this desire has come to you? Mahavishnu is saying this, right? Mahadeva says to reply to that, whatever he has said is true. But when we are talking about incarnations, no matter what dress you have taken, all of them has its own beauty. Mahadeva's logic is that, right? And it's good to see that form, no matter what form it is, right? And that is why I have come to see this, he said. If it is possible, please fulfill my desire. This is why Mahadeva spoke to Mahavishnu, right? So, what it is saying is that if we have desires killing us, you can say that to Krishna, no harm, right? Because Krishna will do something to get us out of it, not fulfill the desire. But to free yourself from the desire, you can approach Krishna. Not to fulfill the desire, to free yourself from the desire. He can do that. Otherwise what will happen is, you will get caught up in that, and you could lose a lot of your time in life to fulfill that desire, running after that, right? So, if you have spoken that this desire has come to my mind, it is causing me this problem, then Krishna will fulfill that desire. How? He is very conscious while giving, fulfilling the desire of the people, that he knows that what he should give it to anybody. If we, by fulfilling the desire, if you are going to destroy yourself, he will not fulfill that desire. He will only fulfill that desire which he knows that will help you to advance in your spiritual path. Anything else, if you ask Krishna with the desires, about the desire, Krishna will make sure, any time when Krishna fulfills a desire, he makes sure that it does not destroy that person in his advancement in spiritual life. One devotee said this very nicely to Krishna, that Krishna, the devotee says like this, that I sent several requests to Krishna. Finally, I started sending letters to him, registered letters, because I was not getting any reply. So I thought he wasn't getting my letter. So I started sending it by registered post, he said. And still I was not getting any reply from him. So finally, I got a reply. What was that reply? That he has accepted. When I started asking for bhakti, he started giving. So I started realizing that he is acknowledging my prayers. He's put it in a way we can understand. That a lot of things you may ask Krishna, but Krishna knows that that's going to cause problems. So therefore he won't give. But when you start asking for bhakti, Krishna slowly comes in our direction. He feels for us and he starts giving a devotion. So he said, the devotee said, all my other requests Krishna rejected. This one particular thing he has accepted, he said. So he will look at it. If it is going to cause any problem for us in our spiritual life, he won't give it. Only after verifying that, he knows more than us what's good for us. He knows by sanctioning any particular desire, if it is going to destroy us, it often happens sometimes that we would go and ask all kinds of things. Krishna fulfills sometimes when the desire fulfills, you go away from Krishna consciousness. So that is why, you remember, Vishnu Sahasranamam says this, Vedyo Vaidya Sada Yogi Viraha Madho Madhu. There is about Krishna it is spoken. Who knows our disease? He is the physician, he is the medicine, and he is the patient also. We have problems. We have problems, right? So, therefore, whenever desires comes, whatever plans we may have in life, it's better to speak to Krishna first, rather than going and jumping into something. Better to talk to Krishna in the sense that by talking to Krishna, Krishna knows whether we should pursue that route or not, right? So, often, devotees also, those who are devotees, they will try medicines first. Nothing is working. What do they do at the end? Go to Krishna. What else can you do? Right? So, so all other doctors, they tried, it didn't work. So they decide to go to the proper doctor. Who can do that? Right? And this doctor, we knew him for a long time, but we didn't go to him. We went to all the other bogus ones. The bogus ones couldn't help, so that time we started going back to the original doctor again. Right? So, sometimes doctors will say, so many things they tell them that, oh, every day you should drink 5 liters of water, they say. That's your problem, you're not drinking enough water. From where this understanding comes, you don't know. They have done some research somewhere, they have tested 100 people or 500 people or 1,000 people, and they come to this conclusion. And there is a time going to come, there won't be enough water in this world to drink. So what will they do at that time? What will they say about this theory at that time? Because already it's happening now. In many places there is not enough water now. Even drinking water. What to talk about? So will they change this theory at that time? So that itself shows that you should drink every day 5 liters of water doesn't hold good. If that's what's going to happen, isn't it? So, or sometimes you can also see that doctor said something, you have done it for a few months, and the problem solved, right? But you didn't feel doing that in the beginning, even though they told you to do so. But when Krishna started telling from inside, try it, it will work, you started doing it. Many things are like that in this world. So people tell you all sorts of things when you are sick. Everybody has got a medicine. Everybody tell you, do this, do that. I found this will work. And they bring medicine to help you also, to give it to you. And you got all these medicines in front of you. Which one to choose? Somebody says Ayurveda. Somebody says allopathy. Somebody says yoga. Somebody says pranayama. And somebody else says homeopathy. And someone else says naturopathy. So you are looking at all these things and thinking, which is the best? Then they all say, we will try everything with you. Nothing will work. Nothing will work. Only when you come, that is an important lesson to learn in life, that people will come to you with all sorts of ideas because they think the body is under the control of all these medicines. Body is not. Krishna controls this body from inside. If you have to suffer through prarabdham, he will make sure that you will go through it. He will not allow any medicine to come in even. Your mind even will go in, won't go in that direction. And that is why he says here, to get that understanding all the time inside is very difficult. Very. Our faith in all the other things, in the money, in the NHS, in the doctors, in the medicines, all these things, right? So, when mind gets painful, feels the misery of life, and slowly it starts to change its attention towards Krishna, and feels like asking for help from Krishna, at that time you will see things getting better. Things getting better. So, Mahavishnu decided to show this understanding to Mahadeva, right? With the intention to let the world understand this principle. Let the world understand this principle. Mahadeva understood this long ago. He doesn't require any lessons. But through Mahadeva, Mahavishnu wanted to teach the world this strong principle behind it, right? Iti bruvano bhagavam, Shri Shukavacha, 17th verse. Iti bruvano bhagavam tatraivandaradhiyata sarvadascharayam chakshur bhava aste sahomaya. He's saying there that sarvadascharayam chakshur bhava aste sahomaya. He wanted to teach this principle. While saying all these things, he disappeared. Mahavishnu disappeared. Mahadeva was thinking that he has gone to get dressed properly, right? And so let him take his time to get dressed up properly. And looking everywhere all around, he sat there, right? And he is in a rush to see that form, right? And remember that now he is in Vaikuntham. He is sitting there in the Vaikuntham, right? Suddenly there was a change in the Vaikuntham weather. The weather changed in Vaikuntham, like our weather here. It changed, right? Even there was no Vaikuntham there. Vaikuntha weather has changed, right? But instead he felt that I'm sitting in a beautiful garden somewhere, right? Whole atmosphere has changed, right? And he was sitting there on a nice seat somewhere in the garden, right? Plenty of flowers and lot of trees with flowers, right? Plenty of different trees and plants and a lot of birds singing there. Beautiful background there altogether. A beautiful place. Gives a lot of happiness to the mind when you sit there. Shankara is sitting there in the middle of all these things, right? One thing you can notice, when Asura Vasana comes inside, Asura Vasana, that means demoniac thoughts comes inside, that is the time when you get attraction to other objects. It creates desires inside. A certain atmosphere or environment creates desires inside. That's because the Asura Vasana inside us will come out if the surroundings are favorable. Surroundings are favorable, right? It is at that time your nature changes, right? At that time, whatever you see, you would like to have it, right? Or at that, if such a desire comes inside, you can take it that asura bhavam has come up inside us. Whenever desires comes in, it's an indication that asuric nature is popping up from inside. And there are examples for that. For example, in Bhagavadam, normally it doesn't talk about stories of things what is happening outside. It's always about stories what is happening inside. You can notice that in the Bhagavadam stories also. Everything is directed towards the mind. All the stories in the Bhagavadam is directed towards the mind. And every time, whenever desires are building up, you can take it that it's going towards the asuric directions. And at the same time, if there is no desires building up inside, and if one is peaceful inside, you can take it that your mind is going in the divine nature. This is how you measure this. If desires are building up inside by seeing things outside, and if the mind is being pulled into the world outside towards objects, towards other persons and things like that, if the mind is getting pulled in that direction, that is an indication that asura bhavam is coming up inside. Instead, if no desires are coming in, and mind is very peaceful, and at the same time, and satisfied with the life, and able to surrender to Krishna, and able to take Krishna consciousness, and getting attracted to that, it means that the mind is going in the towards the divine nature, deva bhava. Instead of the asura bhava, the deva bhava is coming inside, right? So, the goal here was, Mohini's intention was to put the demons and attract them. That was the idea behind that, isn't it? And to create that word kautuhalam in the heart of in the mind of the asuras, right? So, this dress that was taken, what Krishna has taken in the Mohini form, has to suit that, that's all, right? So, in fact, Krishna's greatest Mohini form is this world. Pulls everyone into that. Isn't it? Krishna's greatest female form is Prakriti. Is Prakriti, right? In Mohini, Krishna has only shown a small part of that. Much more powerful than in the Mohini is this world outside. How it pulls us towards that, right? So, to get them attracted, to get us attracted, it doesn't require a lot, isn't it? Right? Because when we have this kamam inside, kamam vigaram inside, it doesn't require a lot. A simple smile is enough. You follow with that. Just a smile is sufficient, right? So, but Mahadeva, who has burned Kamadeva into ashes, a simple smile is not sufficient to attract him, right? And Mahavishnu knows this very well. Therefore, that is the next few verses, if you look, you will see Mahavishnu dressing up to attract Mahadeva, a few verses. Because Mahavishnu knows just a smile is not sufficient. It has to be perfect in everywhere, every sense. So therefore, what they call it as sarva lakshana sambhurnam. All lakshanam, everything has to be perfect in that form, Mohini's form. Everything has to be perfect. The eyes, the nose, the ears, the hair, the head, the breast, the body, the legs, all parts of the body has to be properly proportionate and should give perfection in everything. Only then Shankara will fall. Otherwise Shankara won't get attracted. So, and What else you have to remember here? There is nothing what Shankara doesn't know. Mahadeva does not know. You remember in the second canto about Shankara, what Shuka Brahma she said? If you want Vidya, you should go to Shankara. Says in the second canto, isn't it? Different demigods you should worship, it says. For good married life, Sri Parvati. But for Vidya, for knowledge, self-realization, it is Shankara one should go to. Right? That means Adhishtadra Devada, predominating deity for knowledge is Shankara. Right? So, such a person is not going to fall just by a smile alone. He does require something more than that. Right? And he is the greatest of all the jnanis, Shankara. He is the greatest of all the jnanis. And it has to be, so the form has to be that attractive. Look at the verse 18. Tato dadarsho bhavane varastriyam vijitra pushparuna pallavadrume vikridadim kandugalilaya lasal dugula paryastanitam bhamekhalam. That translation you can read in your books. Yeah. That the she came, Mohini came. She is decorated with various flowers and she is playing ball, playing football or whatever it is, right? And dress also, the attractive dress she had. He saw her in the garden playing this football. Shankara is sitting there comfortably. And the whole environment is very beautiful. You see, sitting in a park, plenty of flowers, beautiful trees, beautiful birds making all kinds of beautiful sounds. And Shankara is in a nice mood. At that time, suddenly he sees this girl playing this ball. Avartano dvartana kambida stana prakrishta haro oru bhurei pade pade prabhajyamana viva madhyadas chalal padapravalam nairim tatastada. She is moving her body based on the movement of the ball. How the body is, how the ball is moving accordingly. And along with that, her breasts also are moving. Shankara is observing all these things. Right. The flowers in the garden, they are not ordinary flowers. Unusual. They're not our daffodils and all that. These which grows like anything anywhere at this time, isn't it? But these are flowers from the Vaikuntham, which is different, right? And these flowers have the capacity to attract your mind. Particular attraction to the everything is like that, isn't it? Some flowers you see, you get attracted to that. And generally flowers have got this nature that it instigates in a person desires. Flowers have got that capacity. It will develop desires in a person, right? Particularly flowers which has got smell, which comes from the flowers, right? And flowers also got another thing. It agitates the mind of the women. Flowers has got that capacity. You will see they wear these flowers, which has got a lot of strong smell, right? And there are particular flowers which has got that very strong smell that generates inside. These things in the West, it is difficult to say because there's no flowers with smell here, first thing. And the women don't wear any flowers anyway. They'll wear some plastic and other things, and that's their beauty. So what can you say? That's the perception. But in the olden days, it was different. It's changed now in India also. But otherwise, women used to have beautiful flowers they from the forest. They brought in, and it got a lot of smell, powerful smell. By their very presence itself, man's mind will be agitated by that. And it will agitate the man's mind when women are there with these beautiful flowers in their decorations. So it is a gandham, smell, is an aspect of the kamam. It's an aspect of the kamam. And it is something that creates danger for men, right? So best thing is not to have those flowers, right? So that is one of the reasons why Tulasi is used for worshipping Vishnu. You will see many of the flowers that's used for Krishna's worship is not those flowers with attraction. Tulasi particularly, as smell is concerned, is not a fantastic flower. There are many other flowers which is a lot more attractive and a lot more nice smell compared to Tulasi, right? Tulasi does not create any emotions, movement of the mind in us, right? And similarly, if you put Tulasi in your hair, also it will not create any problems. Whereas some of the other ones, lavender and certain flowers like that, it does disturb the man's mind when it comes on the top of the hair. So it's possible that your attraction goes towards the feet, Krishna's feet, by having Tulasi, right? So, there is a whole story about this, Shankarjuda story. Shankarjuda story that how Mahalakshmi got involved with this. I'll read that out later because I didn't bring that book. It's in the Bhagavadam, in another canto, it says that, right? So, how Tulasi got into difficulties with Lakshmi Devi, and in the Shankarjuda took advantage of all that. All the story is there. It's related to the 10th canto, right? So, but here in the Bhagavadam it says that Tado Vijitra Pushparuna Pallavadrume, it says, didn't mention the name of the flower. Vijitram. Vijitra Pushpam means some exclusive flowers which are not common, which creates this kind of thoughts inside, right? And of course the leaves also, fresh leaves that's coming from there, beautiful. So the whole arrangement is very beautiful, right? And he said there, Duguvila Paryastha Nitamba Mekhalam, the last line he says, the dress what Mohini was wearing, right? It was expensive and at the same time very simple also and see-through. So very fashionable also, right? Because to create that kamam, desires in a person, all this is all part of that. This is all part of that, right? And the dress was such that it does create desires in a person's mind, right? You can see Krishna wears a yellow garment. And it has got the, it creates the same attraction like the lightning, the same color of the lightning, the dress, right? That won't attract us. But if there is something like Mohini was wearing now, which is see-through and seen properly, that people will look seriously. Otherwise, you go to the temple, you see Krishna wearing all these dresses, you find any attraction for that. But if one day Radharani comes through see-through dresses, you will be attracted. Everybody will look at Radharani that time. So this is that kama vikaram that created by the dress in a person, right? So, anyway, she is dressed very well and dressed also one belt around the waist. Around 17 years old means more or less entering into the youth. Little girl entering into the youth. And that is Tarunya Aramparamyam. That is the stage when boy and a girl looks beautiful. Boys also, girls also. When they get into that age, 17, 18, that time. Tarunya Aramparamyam Paramasukharasaswada Romanjidangai Ravidam Naradadir Vilasad Upanishal Sundari Mandalescha. So, This is the age when a boy or a girl enter into youthhood, to the youth, right? So, there is an exquisite beauty at that time. No matter how wicked that person is, the person may be very wicked, right? But you will get attracted to that age. In a boy or a girl, you will feel some attraction towards that boy or girl. That is why it is said like this, right? Kanduga Leelaya, it says there. Kanduga Leelaya means playing with the football or whatever it is, right? There is also speciality with that, right? It's not an ordinary football, right? Not that kind of football she is playing, like our Premier League or anything. Not in that category. Not in that category, right? While playing with this ball, it gives you an impression as though she is dancing. That's what it is. It's not like playing ball. But while playing the ball, it gives you an impression as though she is dancing along with that, right? So there is a beauty of the dance incorporated into that playing ball, right? And it gives also some flexibility in the body. So she is enjoying that. Mohini is doing all these things. And how she is doing that is in the next way. Avartana udvartanam kambidasthanam prakrishtaharo ubharei pade pade prabhajyamana bhiva madhyadaschalal padapravalam naidim tatastata. The way she is playing the ball. Why Shukha Brahmarshi said all these things? To tell us that simply by kicking the ball, she was more like dancing and attracting the man's mind, Mahadeva's mind. Shankara is looking all very carefully, sitting there and watching all these things. Her dress, her beauty, the flowers, the smell from the flowers. And added to all that, she is playing this ball like a dance, dancing it was in front of him. And he says here, avartana udvartanam, both. And she is repeatedly doing this. And the way she is looking at both sides, is anybody watching me, what I am doing? A kind of mood like that, right? So, when she was doing all these things, when the ball goes up, she has to jump high to get the ball, right? And she has to pick the ball up when it comes down. So, in this way, going up and coming down, all these things, she started doing it very fast at that time, due to the way she was playing with the ball. And this dress, which was see-through, what she was wearing, her breasts were all moving in the process of playing this ball, right? And all the flowers in the body was falling off, which she has dressed, right? And meanwhile, she's also looking, is anybody watching me? That means the movement of her eyes as well. She started moving. All this is to attract Shankara. That was the idea behind it, right? So, is anybody noticing me playing this ball, right? So, normally when women wanted to play ball or anything like that, don't look at the modern world. Huh? This is not in line with our modern world. Today, what can you say? There's no difference, isn't it? We are all equal now. But this is as a time when women wanted to have their own sporting activities, they will look for a private place where there are no men present. This was the system before. Even when we were children, when we went to the river to bathe, there were separate places for women to bathe, for places where they could swim in the river. Big rivers, plenty of water, but the ghats which they have built, in certain ghats were exclusively for women. Men were not allowed to go there. But you can't compare that with today's world. Today's world is so different, isn't it? Right? Today they do everything what we are men are doing. They want to play football also, their football teams also, dressed also in the same way. And even when they score a goal, they celebrate in the way men celebrate it. If you observe that, that's also very funny. So you start thinking that where is the difference between us now? There is no difference anymore. We are all the same, aren't we? So this is the world today. So when we read Bhagavatam, all these things, you start thinking, what's the big deal about it? Why all these things are spoken like this in the Bhagavad? It is only for this reason. Only a last generation will understand this. The new generation won't understand any of these things when you tell them. They'll think that what's all this about? So anyway, here he said by that because they have, women have that natural shyness in them, they do not want to play football and other things in front of the men, right? So they will be careful also to observe if anybody else is observing them, right? So at the same time, she was keeping an eye on the situation outside, and also she was looking at the ball, where the ball is going, right? And she could not stop playing. She kept playing with it, right? And she has not noticed Shankara was sitting there and observing all these things, right? She's acting like that. I'm sure she knew because Mahavishnu has come there. They had the meeting already before about that. And in the meanwhile, the bangles in her hand is making some beautiful sounds as well from there, right? And that sound has had its own speciality. What was that? That sound and the anklets, the sound from the anklets, that is capable of attracting, disturbing the mind, Shankara's mind, right? That's why it says, Manjiram Manjunade Iva Padabhajanam Shreyamityalabandam. That Manjiram Manjunade, the Manjiram means the anklets, that creates Manjunadam, a beautiful sound. And Iva Padabhajanam, those who worship Krishna's lotus feet will remember those anklets in Krishna's feet. That Padabhajanam Shreyasa, worshipping that lotus feet itself is Shreyasa, auspicious for the human society. So when these anklets in Krishna's feet, and if you worship that, it is Shreyasa. But if you worship the anklets on the feet of a materialistic woman, that's not Shreyasa. Manjiram Manjunadei Iva Padabhajanam Shreyam Ityalabandam Padagram Brandi Majjal Pranadam Janajano Mandar Udhara Kurmam. That is the speciality of Krishna's lotus feet. Manjiram Manjunadei Iva Padabhajanam. If you worship that lotus feet of Krishna, and remembering Krishna's lotus feet with the anklets, that is auspicious. But if you worship the lotus feet, not lotus feet, feet of a woman who is having the anklets there, and if you worship that, it is degradation. Right? So, Dikshubramal Kanduga Chapaler Brisham Prodignatarayada Lolalo Chanam Sukarna Vibrajida Kundalo Lassal Kapola Neelalaga Mandidananam. With a lot of effort, Mohini is playing the ball, and accordingly the ball is moving in all directions. At the same time, if you observe Mohini at that time, there is a certain amount of anxiety in the face. Is anybody noticing this, what I'm doing, right? Is anybody seeing? And that looking, Mohini's looks, has got some speciality there, right? So, alone, in a garden, a girl is playing there alone. She is alone now. She feels, it gives the impression that she is alone, right? And she is feeling also a little bit concerned. Is anybody there? You can imagine that in your own mind, right? And at the same time, her beautiful eardrops, everything is moving, and its beauty is such, it's reflecting in the cheeks. And her beautiful hair, and that's dropping off from the head, and Krishna appeared. It's spoken there about that, right? About Krishna's hair, how Krishna came with the hair. You remember? Tamalbudam balagam ambujekshanam Then, Tamalbudam Balagamambujayakshanam. What's the next line? There the head is, hair is spoken. Tamalbudam Balagamambujayakshanam. Chaturbhujam Shangagadaryuthayutham. Srivalsalakshvam Galashobhagaustubham. Pidambaram Sandrapayodasaubhagam. Maharha Kirida Kirida Maharha Vaiduvija Kirida Kundalam Dushwa Parishwapta Sahasra Kundalam. That word. Dushwa Parishwapta Sahasra Kundalam. Krishna's hair, which is curled a bit and it is dropping off to the forehead, from the head. Dushwa Parishwapta Sahasra Kundalam. Krishna's hair is well known like the eyes. Like the eyes, right? So, normally, children who are born fresh will not have children hair like that. It comes after a few days. When they are born, if you see a fresh born baby, if you look at the baby, fresh one, it won't have all these things. But when Krishna came, all these things were there, which was different again, right? So by apparent time itself, it came up like that. That is the speciality of Krishnavadaram, Krishna's appearance, right? And that was Dushwa Parishwakta Sahasra Kundalam, it says. So much hair, and that hair was all curled as well. And that beauty spoken there, right? And it is falling off, even if you tie it down, right? Keshabharam, it says. That means it should be heavy. Plenty of hair should be there, right? And that should be everywhere. It should not be like the bald people, they have only 4 or 5 of hair, and they will comb it and cover the 4. We've seen the bald people, how they put their, they want to show to the world, oh, I'm not bald. So only the hair is somewhere around at the back. So they comb it and cover the whole top and show to the world, well, I got hair, you know, I'm not that old. So men do all these kind of things. But anyway, that's, the Shastram says you should have plenty of hair. And it should cover the breast for the women. And it should reach right up to the knee, to such a level. That's a beauty spoken in the Shastram. Modern beauty is a different thing. You can't compare. Modern beauty is different completely, isn't it? Like the modern art. You take some colors and throw it on the wall and say, this is something you will never understand. You say, and you go to all these galleries where you see the modern art. And you will never understand what the modern art is after seeing that. You think if this is all the art is about, then you get confused, isn't it? But that's how it is. Modern beauty also is like that. It's not in our understanding. It's something different, right? So, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi here tells us how Krishna made himself attractive like a beautiful girl, right? In this 9th chapter, if you remember when Mohini appeared, this is 12th chapter. In the 9th chapter, when Mohini appeared, Shuka Brahmarshi spoke about Mohini's hair at that time, right? When she had to handle the nectar and came to snatch the nectar from the demons. And that the same thing again he is saying here. Right? So it's time now, we'll stop it. We'll continue on Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.